Thanks for tuning us in for this 72nd episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include actress Midori Francis, legendary rocker Dee Snider, actress Olivia Diabo, and TikTok sensation country singer-songwriter Cooper Allen. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and of course, share with your friends. Our first guest, Midori Francis. She's got a brand new movie, Dash and Lily, on Netflix, plus an upcoming film, Afterlife of the Party. First off, Midori, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Now, the new movie coming out in February, tell us a little bit about Afterlife of the Party and how excited you are to have a new movie coming out real soon.
Yeah, so I'm not, as far as I know, it's not coming out in February. I think it's just, we just finished Afterlife of the Party. So I think that it's definitely going to come out in 2021, which is fantastic. And that movie is about a woman played by Victoria Justice who passes away on her 25th birthday, and I'm her best friend, and I try and help her transition to the afterlife. The thing that I'm in now that is out is Dash and Lily on Netflix, which is the very feel-good, you know, holiday rom-com.
Now tell us about what it's like to, in 2020, to have a new project that you can brag about to folks that obviously a lot of folks aren't able to have new projects out there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I feel, you know, especially with Dash and Lily, we filmed it in December of last year, 2019. And so the fact that it was all done and edited before the pandemic hit, we feel so lucky because, you know, everyone has been enjoying Dash and Lily and finding such love in the character and watching it with the whole family and watching these young people fall in love. And so I feel so lucky to have a show out. And then Afterlife of the Party, that will come out in 2021. I just got to film that. And so, there was probably 7 months for me where I obviously couldn't work at all. And then Netflix was able to make this incredible bubble for us where we were able to stay together at the hotel and live and eat together and not leave. And that allowed us to film the movie. And so to be able to work during the pandemic, especially as an actor, I was never not aware of how lucky I was and really tried to drink in everything. Yeah.
Now, what has, in the downtime that you did have, that you weren't filming, what were the little key points that you were working on improving in your craft?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I was just determined to stay creative and to remember that my love for the theater, my love for film and television, I don't need the external things to do it. You know, So for the first part of the pandemic, I was making little short films with my iPhone movie. I was practicing my Shakespeare monologues. I was painting. I was just trying to be as creative as possible. We made like a really elaborate Mother's Day video for my grandma. And just remembering that my love for creating and my love for art, it's nice when Hollywood's involved. It's nice when you get a paycheck. But even without all of that, I would still be making art. So that was a cool part about what I learned, for sure.
Now, where was art truly inspired in your life? I mean, where was art truly inspired in your life? And who was it that gave you maybe the little nudge that saw that you had something special?
Yeah, I mean, I had aunts and uncles who are in the music industry, pianists. I had an aunt who was an actress. So it was never like an abnormal idea to pursue a career in the arts at all. So I feel very fortunate. I know a lot of people, pursuing a career in the arts can be very scary to families who don't really know that you can, that it's a viable profession. But I was never really a great singer or dancer. And so I never got cast well in any of the musicals. And I was always devastated about it. But I just had a dream, you know, it's just your classic American dream story. I always wanted to do it. And I persevered and I said, you know what, I'm going to get training. And I got my training at Rutgers and it happened. But, as far as being an artist, you know, I always loved to play pretend. Other kids were playing sports or whatever they were doing. And I was always in the backyard with some sticks playing, you know, like playing jungle or something like that. So it's always been in my nature.
Now, when was it that you knew in your life that the performing in the arts was a calling in your life, something that you just had to do?
I think I did this production called Titanic when I was 10. I mean, I wasn't a child actor, but I did a lot of community theater. And it was a production of Titanic, the musical, and I was one of the only little kids. And I just fell in love with that production. I was so obsessed with the whole cast. And I cried, oh my God, for days when it ended. And I just, I don't think I felt that way in school. I don't think I particularly felt comfortable in school or really that I fit in very well. And so to go every night to this other kind of universe where all of these adults were wearing costumes and hanging out together and singing. And I just felt such a love for that experience and for the performance and the smell of the theater. And I caught the bug then, and I really haven't looked back.
And to spend 2020 and have a film on Netflix, I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that in 2020, does it?
No, it really doesn't. To have anything in 2020 is quite the accomplishment, I would say.
That's right. Again, check out Dash and Lily. Sorry about that earlier on Netflix. Also coming up after Life of the Party in 2021. And I want to make sure and Midori, make sure and let everybody know where they can keep up social media wise with everything else you got going on as well.
Yeah, my Instagram is at Midori Glory, at MIDORIGLORY. And then my Twitter is at Midori Francis.
All right. Well, Midori, it has been great to visit with you this morning. Hope you have the happiest of holidays. Hopefully we can catch up in 2021.
I would love that. And please stay safe and love to everyone listening.
Up next, our good friend and legendary rocker, Dee Snider. Of course, you remember him from his days on Twisted Sister. Got a brand new Christmas single, The Magic of Christmas Day, performed with Lizzie Hale. You know her from Hailstorm. We'll talk with them about the new single and, well, with Dee about all that 2020 is. Dee, first off, thanks so much, brother.
Hey, Cameron, pleasure. Thank you for having me on. Got a very important message for people this holiday season.
That's right. There's and this Christmas season, I think this is probably we could just blow it out of the water. And I think you guys started it off. Tell our folks a little bit about the new single with that you put out with Lizzie Hale. I mean, I'm excited to talk about this one this morning.
Well, it's called The Magic of Christmas. God bless us, everyone. And I actually wrote it over 30 years ago as a Christmas gift for my wife with no intention of commercially releasing it. Cut to several years later, I get a call from Celine Dion's organization. Somehow she heard the song and wanted to put it on her album, These Are Special Times. Now, this is during the grunge era, so I'm in desperate need of cash. So suddenly I'm all about, all right, let's play it. Sure. So that record is the biggest selling holiday record in history, 14 million copies sold on that. But come to 2020, and sitting here and looking at this holiday season between COVID and the ugliness in the world in America politically, and the fact that my family can't even be in the same room together. And it got me thinking about the spirit of the song that I wrote over 30 years ago. I was inspired by the fact that it used to be the time of year where we could set our differences aside for a little bit and share a drink or a meal, you know what I mean? And that seems to be out the window right now.
That's right. And Dee, for you, what was the original inspiration? I mean, I know you wrote it for your wife, but where did the inspiration in your head and your heart come from?
Well, first of all, first inspiration was my wife saying, "Write me a Christmas song." I said. This is like, you know, this is like the late 80s, early, and I'm like, I'm heavy metal. And she's like, ah, you're a classically trained countertenor. You can do it. And I am. And the second thing was that exact thing, just like thinking about, I said, all right, let me think about this. And what I love about the holiday, and that is that moment in time where we let it rest. I mean, this is a fact, Cameron, and you've probably heard this story. During World War One, there was a Christmas ceasefire called, and famously, the Germans and the Allies came out of the trenches, met on the battlefield together, and shared a drink together, and celebrated Christmas together. Then went back in the trenches and started killing each other the next day. So we can't do that. We can't say, you know what, moratorium, I'm talking politics, just for tonight. let's just pretend, let's just get along here, and then go back to killing each other.
That's right.
Not literally, people, not literally, I meant just figuratively speaking.
That's right. And the political, the COVID, everything that's happened in 2020, I mean, it's time to celebrate Christmas and time with our loved ones. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to do it differently this year. And how different is it going to look in your household, Dee?
Well, you know, it's very shrunk down. You know, it's immediate family, and even there we're getting COVID tested. We're not non-believers, but you know, the fact that you know, and I'm fully aware that even if this wasn't going on, my extended family, the last time we spent Christmas together, it nearly came to physical blows over politics. And this is my brother's brother on brother. And get this, my mom is on her deathbed, literally down the block in a hospital, and we couldn't keep it together for one night. I mean, and traditionally, when the Snyder boys got together, it was a party. All of a sudden, the game's changed, and everything's super ugly.
And Dee, for you to be able to put a smile on faces and to uplift spirits, especially in 2020 with all that's going around, how does that make you feel on a personal level, my friend?
Well, I'm hoping that people listen to the song and go, wow, this makes me feel kind of Christmassy and it rocks, you know, and they may know it from the Celine Dion album that it was on. A lot of people have that in their collection. And, you know, and the message, you know, God bless us, everyone. You know, it's not about religion. I took that line from Tiny Tim, you know, the last line, God bless us, everyone. But it was, again, the spirit of the holiday. And by the way, kudos to my partner on the song, Lizzie Hale from the band Hailstorm. Lizzie Hale is an amazing young vocalist. I needed a Yule log lit under my butt, and she certainly did it.
And for you to have the respect and all that in the industry, for Lizzie to just be like a unquestionable yes. I mean, Dee, that's gotta make you feel pretty good as well, right?
You know what? I am completely full of myself, but then I'm not at the same time. And I'm honestly surprised a lot of times when I find out that this young gun or that young gun is a fan of mine. And a lot of these people, it was their parents, you know, raising them on Twisted Sister Records, which, by the way, in some countries is considered child abuse, but not here. So, you know, hashtag good parenting, Lizzie's mom and dad, who I hung out with at a concert, by the way, one night.
That's awesome. Now, apparently this is Twisted Sister Week, and I have raised my 15-year-old daughter right, because I had JJ French on earlier in the week, and my daughter, whenever I mentioned to my 15-year-old who I was having on, she goes, oh, you mean from Twisted Sister. And how crazy is it for the new generations that are becoming fans of the music as well?
It is bizarre, okay? I mean, again, it's not what you expect with a career. You're blessed by it, and it's incredible. On social media, I see all these young kids, including my grandkids, by the way, who are watching the old Twisted videos. I think they think I'm a Muppet. I don't know what exactly they're getting out of these videos, but singing my song and you know, We're Not Going to Take It, and I Want to Rock, and it really blows me away to have that kind of effect and that kind of ongoing interest from young people. It's amazing. And by the way, I think one of the most popular children's costumes now is Dee Snider. Every Halloween, I see kids dressed like me. I'm like, seriously?
That's awesome. Now, Dee, with 2020, what is everybody's had to learn something technologically, it seems like. What has been the big thing that you've learned this year?
Oh, my God. I learned how fallible I am with technology. That's what I learned. I mean, I've been running around with personal assistants and IT people at my disposal, and all of a sudden I got to do it myself. I'm like, but guess what? We can do it. It's pushing buttons, and it's clicking on this and clicking on that. So I have figured out how to do a Zoom call. It seems like either that or die.
And again, the new single, Rocking Out with Lizzie Hale, The Magic of Christmas Day. Dee, I want to make sure and let folks know where to find more information about the song and everything you got going on social media-wise as well, my friend.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's available everywhere that you get your music. I mean, I'm actually gifting it on iTunes to people, and you can find it on all those outlets. And, you know, I think it'll be a nice addition to your Christmas collection. And Twitter, I'm actually run my Twitter at D. Snyder. I don't run my Facebook, but my people do at facedsnyder.com. At facedsnyder, I should say. And my website is dsnyder.com. And by the way, Snyder is not a proper noun. It's an adjective. I'm Snyder than you are. S-N-I-D-E-R.
That's right. Well, D, always great to visit with you, my friend. I wish you the merriest of Christmas, and hopefully we'll catch up again in the new year.
Thanks, Cameron. Great talking to you. Have a great holiday. Here's to 2021, people. It can't get worse.
Up next, actress, you might remember her from The Wonder Years or even Conan, Olivia Dabo. We'll be talking about the new movie, Angie, Lost Girls. First off, Olivia, such a privilege to have the chance to visit with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure is all mine.
now, Olivia, to have a new movie coming out in 2020, I mean, you probably at the beginning of the year, that doesn't seem like such a monumental feat. But now looking back, how excited are you for the new movie coming out tomorrow?
You know, I'm really excited. I think actually it's bang on time, you know, it, just in terms of the subject matter and a lot of stuff that's been in the press and the fact that this is sort of, you know, really being brought to people's attention, I think, more than ever right now. So I think, you know, there's so many things that are up right now that we're looking at in our society and things and in the areas that we feel we need to change and evolve and be more conscientious about. And so I think timing-wise, you know, it's a good time. I think it's a good time.
And if folks haven't seen the trailers, the previews, tell our listeners just a little bit about the story of Angie, Lost Girls.
Well, the subject matter is about child sex trafficking, which is, you know, a little bit of a seemingly a dark subject. Obviously, we've heard a lot about Jeffrey Epstein and the fact that this is something that's been really circulating around the globe. It's finally getting a lot of attention, and people are cracking down on it, which is great because of the attention. And I think that this film is going to, you know, bring it even more into the light, especially when you're dealing with what the film's about, which is a kind of middle-class suburban family. You know, myself and Randall Bachman play the parents of Angie. We have two daughters, and, you know, we're sort of working around the clock. We're, you know, real estate, a sort of real estate power couple. And I think what's interesting is that this kind of thing can happen to any family, really. It doesn't necessarily have to be just to a family that has a broken home where, you know, you have kids that run away, get on a bus and go somewhere. But you know, in this case, you know, our daughter, Angie, who's a sort of 16-year-old teenage girl, you know, we've just moved and she's impressionable and she's at a time where, you know, she's having crushes on boys. And, you know, unfortunately what happens to her is that she sort of gets lured into this, you know, into the wrong hands, and she disappears. And, you know, the movie's really all about the plight of a family trying to get their daughter back and dealing with the reality of, you know, that these things can actually happen. I mean, it's very difficult for parents. They go through tremendous guilt. In my particular character's case, you know, because she was such a sort of powerhouse mom, but a workaholic, you know, maybe she wasn't with her husband at the recital that she needed to be at or there absolutely every step of the way. And I think when our daughter gets taken, you know, and lured in by a, you know, a boy that ostensibly Angie has, you know, a crush on, you know, she gets taken and into this sort of dark world of sex trafficking. And so, you know, when we're brought these pictures to the table, by one of the men who is very kindly kind of doing this out of the love of his heart. And, you know, the police are involved, obviously, but it's, you know, they have witness protection programs and what have you now to sort of, you know, find these girls and keep the families near so that the families, you know, when they're reunited with their kids, they can sometimes find... What ends up happening with Angie is she ends up deciding once we get her back to shed a light on who these people really are, which is quite dangerous when you think about it, because, you know, they can threaten, you know, the other child or the family. You know, there's threats of, you know, that they're going to harm the family. So it's a very brave thing that she does, and we as her family stand behind her. And ultimately, we end up catching these guys in the end, which is great, which is happening more and more. So I think it's a much more positive ending to the film, which is good. But it certainly is a roller coaster ride for not only the main character of Angie, who's amazing in it. This actress is just tremendous, Jane Winthrop, and. You know, everybody, just all the performances are just really, really top-notch. I mean, it's a very, very chilling drama, you know, and not that on that, and very close to life to what's going on right now. So I think the more awareness that can be created about it, I think the better off we'll all be, because parents need to know about what the red flags are, as well as, you know, adolescent children, you know, in school and what have you.
And Olivia, I know that you've stayed active in philanthropic ventures, also very, very active in social issues. And for you to be able to have a movie that touches on the social issues, I mean, how much pride does that give you personally, aside from the professional side?
Well, I think there comes a time, you know, when you've been acting as long as I have, where you want to tell stories that are going to actually really get out there and change people's lives in a more conscientious way. You know, I'm a mother, and so this film was important to me. You know, this happens with both male and female, you know, adolescents. And, you know, we hear about it in India, we hear about it in smaller world countries, but the reality is that it's especially happening right here at home. It's happening in England, it's happening more and more in Western society. So it's all the more reason for me. I'm very much a person about family, and I think, you know, you have to be a tight-knitted sweater as a family. You have to do your best to keep family close and stay on top of watching your kids grow and who they are around and what environments they're around. And I was very conscientious of that as a mom. You know, luckily nothing like this happened to my son, but, you know, we heard stories about it, you know, from friends of friends and friends of friends, you know. But so it was important to me because I just felt it's one of the things that, as human beings, you know, the fact that this actually goes on is really a little bit hard to, you know, to process and digest, but it does. And so I think, you know, putting that and making a film that's very close to the bone to highlight all of these issues. This film is going to be going into schools and educating kids that know nothing about it still because they're too young, so that we can really kind of do our best to nip it in the bud. So it's really about educating and creating awareness for me, and that's what's important about the kind of philanthropic work that I do. You just get to that place where that's just the next step. You know, that's the next story to tell and be part of as an artist.
That's right. And again, Angie Lost Girls, available on demand Friday on DVD, the 22nd. And Olivia, great to visit with you. I appreciate the time that we've had, and hopefully have a happy holiday and a happy new year as well, my friend.
I think it's going to be a very, very happy 2021. I think we're going to be moving onwards and upwards and healing in many, many ways. And a happy holiday to you and everybody listening.
Guys, our next podcast guest, man alive, I knew who he was before my wife informed me that I had to have him on the podcast. We've got Cooper Allen on the line, and I keep saying on the line. I'm an old radio guy. So on the Zoom this afternoon, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on here, man. It means a lot.
Now, Cooper, I saw the single New Normal when it was released. I got the MPE release and timely, obviously, with the release. And I wanted to talk first off a little bit about the single and 2020 and how you thought it, the timingness of the single as well.
Absolutely. So obviously, you know, been a crazy year for everybody and especially us in the music business. It's been weird. So I guess we wrote that song back in April. So kind of in the heat of the beginning of the pandemic and stuff. And it just kind of originated from a conversation we were having, as most, really like every conversation always starts with COVID and pandemic stuff these days. So we were talking about it and just the negative and how much, you know, it sucks and all the bad things that it's done. But then we kind of shifted the conversation to, you know, just because there has been so much bad does not mean that good stuff has not, that good stuff has stopped happening. So we just kind of started talking about that and little things like spending more time with family. I got to hang out with my girlfriend more. I got to move home for a couple months and hang out with my parents. Hadn't done that since before college. My brother found out he was going to have a baby. My other brother got married. So in the midst of all this stuff, it really has been, you know, a good year in many ways and a bad year in many ways. So that's what we kind of wanted to do with the song. Just kind of give a different spin on the new normal, which has such a negative connotation. And as a songwriter, that's kind of what you try to do. You try to take phrases and words that people hear every day and spin it in a way that they're not used to hearing.
That's right. And where do you find inspiration aside from, especially in 2020, has it been a darker year writing wise?
Not really. It's been a busier year writing. You know, since nobody's on the road, it's like everybody's writing and trying to put out music. And then with social media and stuff, this has really, you know, been my busiest year as a musician yet. And it kind of took that detour and major speed bump to kind of figure out, you know, my sound and what I wanted to do, what I needed to do, and just kind of digging in and having fun with it.
Now, what has been the best moment of 2020 for you?
Ooh, best moment of 2020. Well, it wasn't the Carolina basketball season, I'll tell you that, because that was rough. Best moment, it had to be watching my niece get born. We weren't there in the hospital, but, you know, meeting her a couple of days after she was born was freaking special, man. And that's the first, I guess, grandkid for my parents and my first niece, nephew. So that was super special.
That's good stuff. Now, you talk about all the writing, all the downtime. How has writing, especially, I love talking to songwriters and find out how the Zooms, how much different a Zoom write is today as opposed to maybe back in March, April timeframe.
Yeah. Well, it started off as just the worst. Like, nobody knew how to use it. Nobody, you know, it was just weird. And so, yeah, I honestly, at the beginning of this whole thing, I was like, I'm not going to write on Zoom. It's stupid. So I pushed back writes, you know, a couple months and stuff. And then once you figured out like, oh my God, we're going to be here for a while, then you just kind of start doing it and you make it happen. And honestly, I almost like it as much as writing in person these days because people know how to use it. People aren't like constantly interrupting each other or trying to play instruments and having that like half second delay. It kind of saves time. You get to just chill at home. You can wear whatever you want. I mean, God knows what I'm wearing. You know, I'm half right now. You'll never know. So it's been okay. And you can get some great stuff done on it.
Now, who are the songwriters who have helped you along so far in your young journey still?
Absolutely. So when I first got to town, I got connected with this amazing songwriter, producer named Victoria Shaw. It just connected through a family friend that they knew through charity work and stuff. And she was nice enough to meet with me and talk with me before I graduated college and really kind of took an interest in what I was doing. So when I got to town, I think like a day after I graduated, I went over to her house and we talked about working together and trying to make this whole thing happen. So I've been on a publishing and development deal with her for about 2.5 years now, which has just been awesome, man. Having that guidance, that person to look up to, that person to really teach you how to dig in and write songs. She has been incredible, and it's an awesome partnership that I look forward to, you know, keeping on going with for, you know, ever, I guess. And so she's also introduced me to people like, you know, Rivers Rutherford, Gary Burr, Seth Mosley, just some incredible songwriter friends of hers. And that's really how you get better at the whole thing is, you know, you do it a bunch and you try to get in as many rooms with people who are light years better than you. And I've been lucky enough to have that experience from the jump, which has just really, really helped me and is still helping me, still growing every day.
Now the trips back into Nashville, does it feel like you're getting back home whenever you make it into Nashville since March?
Yeah, it does. You know, Nashville, I think it takes a while, and North Carolina is close enough where, you know, I can really go home a lot and just kind of have that flexibility. It's only like a 7-hour drive. But yeah, it's starting to feel more like home. And I don't really know what that is or why that is, but driving into Nashville, it's like, okay, I'm not just visiting anymore. You know, I'm here for better or for worse for a long time.
That's good stuff. Now, obviously, like I mentioned, social media, TikTok, all those crazy things. How did you originally get to TikTok, and how blown away are you by the response you get from the mashups that you do, man?
Yeah, dude, it is the freaking Wild West on that thing, man. It's just insane. But so that was back in, I guess, March when I really dug in. I'd been like posting, you know, covers just to say I did it and, you know, tell my girlfriend I was trying TikTok because she wanted me to. But March, I really started, I was like, you know, there's nothing else to do. I'm just going to sit here and really try to learn this app and see if I can make anything happen. And it took a while, but then I had one video kind of pop off and I was like, oh my God, these people are not only liking the video, they're going and following me. I don't know why, but they are. It's awesome. And just kind of kept trying to find new things. As you know, things are hot for a little bit, then they die down, then they come back up, all that stuff. And just enjoying kind of gaining a following in a way that no other social media app has allowed you to do as an independent artist. And then it really, really started blowing me away with New Normal. It kind of went semi-viral on there. And then I kept posting it and working it and just kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, to the point where I think almost 20,000 people have used the song and videos on TikTok, and it released and went number one on the iTunes charts and got on a Billboard chart and all that stuff. And that was when I was really like, wow, this is really a thing. This is like changing the game for me, as it has for, you know, a handful of other awesome up and coming country artists that you may have never heard of before. And then the mashups, you know, I've always done those live at my shows since college. Just we would play like All Star by Smash Mouth and just like ramble on for 30 minutes on freaking song. We're playing 4-hour sets, so it's like we got to find ways to kill time in here. So it would just be turned into this like gigantic riff off. So I just thought, hey, let's try this. Catch me off guard, surprise me, play something, and we'll see what happens. And people really responded well to it. And that's been like the most fun I've had making videos on this thing, just because that's something I love to do. It's how my brain works. And I love mixing John Michael Montgomery and Eminem into the same song. There's just a satisfying feeling about that.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't, right?
Exactly.
Well, you got the guitar. I know I asked you, you went out of the room to grab the guitar for us. I don't know what you want to play. If you want to try the single, whatever, whatever tickles your fancy, man.
I'll play the single. That seems to be still tickling my fancy a little bit. And thank you so much for spinning it, man. I really, as a independent guy, I'm still doing this. You know, Victoria and I are doing this all on our own. It really means a lot. And, it's hard to get radio play when you don't have the big label promotion or money. So it really means a ton. Thank you.
Well,
you used to be okay. Just being a rolling stone. You could find me most days being fine on my own. It's funny how everything can change in a moment. Hits you in the heart and you know when you know it. And I know it. I'm getting used to this beautiful view. Every time I wake up seeing your sweet face, that's all it takes to turn me inside out. Love song in my head, you and me in this bed. This is what it's all about, loving this new normal now. This new normal now, yeah. From the sunrise till the moon's up, I'd be all right if it was just the two of us. A bottle of wine and some front porch swinging. Got nothing but time and the nightbird singing. Kind of feels like I'm dreaming. I'm getting used to this beautiful view. Every time I wake up seeing your sweet face, that's all it takes to turn me inside out. Love song in my head, you and me in this bed. This is what it's all about, loving this new normal now. This new normal now. I ain't ever going back. I ain't ever going back. I'm getting used to this beautiful view. Every time I wake up seeing your sweet face, that's all it takes to turn me inside out. Love song in my head, you and me in this bed. This is what it's all about, loving this new normal now. This new normal now. I feel like we were really having a moment there. I was
trying not to. I was trying my best not to.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it.
So what has been the best best Zoom meeting moment of the year for you?
Best Zoom meeting moment. Wow. Interesting. I've not gotten that question. Huh. You're catching me off guard here.
Yes, that's what I do. I told you, you never know where I'm, what I'm going to throw at you.
Yeah.
Any good ones?
Honestly, not really. I'm totally, I'm flaking here. How lame.
You're too technically inclined. That's the problem here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, haven't had anybody, you know, trying to sneak alcohol on there or get up and have no pants on or act like the thing is frozen. I love seeing those videos though. The people are like, when they don't know the answer. I should have done that since I didn't know the answer.
What I love is whenever I had one yesterday, and you know, we do the Zoom recording, and the Zoom recording in the end is great. Because it pulls both ends locally and pulls it all together. But when you're live, you're sitting here and there's somebody singing and they stop and you're just looking at a blank screen just for like 30 seconds. And I'm going, are they done yet? Are they done yet? And then then when it comes live and they're just going. You're like, awesome. It was amazing. That was the best I've ever heard. So who was the first inspiration in the music for you? I mean, was have you been singing since as long as you can remember?
Yeah, I really started seriously in like eighth grade. You know, I'd done chorus and choir and all that stuff. Actually, like disco music was my first thing, which is really weird, but I was in like fourth grade and I loved ABBA. Kind of concerning probably. Yeah. But what really got me into it was my first time seeing Kid Rock live, which is Some people think that's a little bit out there. But I was in eighth grade. It was in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I had never, I've been to plenty of concerts, you know, but I'd never seen anybody work a room like that, have that authentic connection, have that energy. And this was in Greensboro, North Carolina. You could tell he did it night after night after night. Appreciation for his fans, all that stuff. Say what you will about him, but, you know, in that aspect, he's pretty admirable. And I saw that show, and I looked at my parents. I was like, I've got to find a way to do this. However we got to make this happen, I'm going to try. And I think it was a few months later, got together with two buddies and had our first gig. We played at a haunted trail at my middle / high school. And it was interesting for sure. I wish we had video of that. We tried to encore with Purple Rain, and I didn't know any of the chords, but it was freaking epic. And, you know, since then, I've been most inspired by great entertainers that I've seen live. You know, music is awesome. Songs are great, but it's the live show that's always done it for me. So guys like Kenny Chesney and Eric Church and, you know, watching videos of Garth Brooks and, you know, Carrie Underwood, Miranda Lambert. That's what really gets me going. And it started with that Kid Rock concert. So, and I've probably seen him like 7 or 8 times since. I think my family and I are slowly joining the Kid Rock cult.
That's good stuff. Yeah. Now, where's the most, have you had any bizarre places that you've played this year?
Not really. Just since there hasn't really been a lot of stuff going on. I've done like some Zoom concerts. I've still played some around Nashville at some of the bars here as they've slowly opened back up. Did one like festival thing at a tractor pool out in Indiana, which was sweet. got the good road experience. We stayed at a nice Amish hotel, which,
oh yeah,
they know how to take care of you for sure. But yeah, it's certainly been a slow year playing, but I just spent a lot of time on TikTok Live doing shows on there or whatever.
Now, what goals have you set going into the new year?
Yeah. You know, I've been lucky to have Victoria kind of instill this mindset in me that, you know, as a musician, you are trying to start a small business around your brand. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people have this perception about the music business that is, you know, I moved to town, I try my best to get a record deal. And once I get that, the record company is going to make it happen for me and I'll just sing and write. And especially nowadays, that is really not the case anymore. And you really have to, you know, bust and work hard on your own and try to build up as much as you possibly can. So that's going into the new year, you know, I'm going to release more music and keep going with the social media stuff and just try to grow that following as much as I can. So, you know, if and when I maybe sign a record deal one day or something, it's going to be because they want to work with me and they want to push what I have going on instead of just getting a deal to get a deal. So it's been a really cool year of really digging in and making that happen and just got to try to do it twice as big next year. Right.
That's right.
Never stops.
You set the ceiling so high. So that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Now Cooper, if folks don't follow you on social media, first off, shame on them. Second off, where's the best place to follow you, man?
So TikTok is hopping right now. That's Cooper Allen One, Allen spelled A-L-A-N. One, there's Cooper Allen Music on Instagram, Cooper Allen on Facebook. I'm on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, all the digital platforms. You can find my music and hopefully continuing to spend at the best radio station in Oklahoma.
That's right. That's right. Well, Cooper, it's been great to visit with you today, brother. I wish you a very Merry Christmas, happy holiday season, and hopefully we can catch up again in the new year.
My man, thank you. Anytime. Merry Christmas.
Thanks again for joining us for this 72nd episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, anything else you'd like to know, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, email gqwithcam@gmail.com. Again, thanks to Brandon Allen, our good friend down in Austin, Texas, for coming up with theme music. We're going to let him play us out, and we'll be back with episode number 73 coming up tomorrow.